They're telling me that I've got to have like 10 pages typed out. It's an assignment like I haven't received since I was in college. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to work on this. And I carried around this little red notebook. And in this notebook, I would write stuff every once in a while, just every time I'd have thoughts or things like that. Because I wasn't going to do this like I did assignments when I was in college and wait until 10, 11 o'clock the night before it was due and try to get it in. I was going to try to get it in plenty of time. And I had this notebook, and on the front of it, I wrote the topic of what I'd been asked to speak on. Husbands, love your wives. And I was up early one Saturday morning and was in the kitchen. I was cooking some chocolate gravy and some biscuits and some sausage. And I know my wife likes the chocolate gravy, and I do too. The sausage pretty much was mostly for myself. But anyway, I was there cooking that, and I had written a few things on the notebook while I was in the kitchen cooking. It lay there on the bar, and Daphne comes into the kitchen, and she sees the notebook, and she sees the title on it, and she says something to the effect, well, they picked the right topic for you to talk about. Kind of embarrassed me, even though it was just me and her there. And you see, the day before, she had gone shopping. And I had kept Christopher at home, our little two-year-old that can be a handful. And she had gone to get her hair fixed. And while she was gone, he and I played in the yard. We went in and we watched some movies on the TV, some tapes of VeggieTales and then I think Toy Story and things like that. And while that was going on, I did the laundry that had accumulated during the week, just trying to do a few things to kind of keep her ahead along the way. And so whenever she said that, it struck me, do these acts of kindness, acts of, you know, helping out that a person does, a husband does around the house, does that really constitute one loving one's wife the way it was intended? Is that what makes the kind of love that Paul was speaking of whenever he penned the words, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her? Now, anytime that you study a topic such as this and you look at what all the Bible has to say concerning that, you're going to come to the conclusions that certainly those things are involved in one loving one's wife. In the Christian man trying to fulfill his part of the marriage relationship, certainly those things are involved, but certainly those are not all. And that's what I want to discuss with you here tonight. We want to explore what the Bible teaches about husbands loving their wives. And hopefully we'll look at this examining four points. The first one of Old Testament examples. We want to go back and look at some of the Old Testament teachings on this subject. And then, of course, we want to look at some particular New Testament teachings. But I think, more importantly, the overall importance to family and the importance of sustaining that, fulfilling that command here in the 21st century that we now live in. You know, whenever I looked at the topics that were in the lectureship, the importance of this whole thing, the whole set of topics as it comes together, this whole lectureship, the importance of it can't be overstated. As you look at hard statistics on the divorce rate, whenever you try to look them up, they're pretty hard to come by nowadays, but you can find some of the things. And one of the main things that I found as I researched the topic is that there seemed to be a decline in divorces in the last 10 years. But then you start looking at a reason for that decline or reasons, and some of them are not very good. So, you know, I don't think that we can overstate the importance of the family as God would have it. And certainly this lectureship being titled just that and all of the good lessons that you're being able to hear. To live as a Christian husband or a Christian wife in this day and age now, it takes dedication, it takes effort, and certainly it takes a knowledge of how God expects us to live. And to have that knowledge, we need to come together and we need to study what does God have to say about that. And that's why I think this is such a great organized effort. So anyway, with that in mind, let's look at a few things here tonight. As we look at the Old Testament examples, we start looking at the teachings. You know, since whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, I think it's a pretty good place to start, to go back to the Old Testament and see the way that God would have husbands to love their wives. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, we can see the wonderful gift that God created and that He brought to Adam. The scripture reads there, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Notice that God made the woman and brought her to the man as a gift. If we men could just understand how great a gift that we have been given, we can begin to understand how God wants us to relate to our wives. We ought to be able to understand the wonderful and the beautiful characteristics that God has given our spouses, that He's created our spouses with, that there is beauty within as well as without. You know, if we find a good wife, we obtain favor with God, and we have been blessed, Proverbs 18, verse 22. Not appreciating that blessing, though, is to not be properly thankful for what God has done for us. He wants men to enjoy their wives. He wants them to be blessed with what He has given them. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which He has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. You know, under the old law, whenever a man had a new wife, he didn't have to go to war if the nation was at war. He didn't have to conduct any official business of that type for a full year, but he was free to be at home to, quote, bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 5. This was part of the duty of man towards his wife then, according to God's word. To bring happiness to his wife and to fail in that duty, we can conclude, would be to sin against God. And then, you know, whenever we start looking further into the Old Testament, and we can see the lesson of the undying love that's throughout all of the Old Testament that God showed for His people, then the Israelites. We take a look at those stories that were told about that love. I think one of the most unusual stories showing that is a story of the unusual relationship between a man and his wife and the love that he had for his wife. Whenever she had fully deserted him and the children as well. Now the story that we're talking about, of course, is the story of Hosea and Gomer from the book of Hosea. And it teaches God's love for the Israelites, but it also gives some insight to the depth of which men ought to love their wives. Now Hosea was a prophet of God, and he was instructed to take a wife from, of all things, among the prostitutes. And he goes out and he takes Gomer for his wife. And he works to give his wife a good home, likely a much better home than she had to begin with. And then, in time, Hosea and Gomer had three children. Now, Gomer evidently didn't appreciate what Hosea had done. She evidently didn't appreciate the home that was provided, or even the children that came about as a result of the union, as a result of the marriage, and she left. She left Hosea, she left the children, and she went back to that life of harlotry. She went back to that life of wickedness. And then Hosea goes through the city and he sees Gomer being sold on the auction block. And he goes and he buys her. And he doesn't take her and put her in his household as a slave, but he gives her her place again as his wife. Folks, that's love. That's the kind of love that God had shown for a wicked and idolatrous people. But, you know, I think it's interesting that God equates the love that He has for His people with the love that Hosea had for Gomer in their marriage relationship. And then so many years later, we see Paul writing that husbands are to love their wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. This story just so vividly describes for us a special love. And that leads to another lesson altogether. But the man's job in the marriage relationship, as we look at the old law, wasn't just being devoted to his wife, wasn't just to bring happiness to his wife, but it went a whole lot further than that. Whenever it came down to doing all that God wanted, God wanted man to be the spiritual head of the household as well. God's law was to be taught. It was to be taught in the home and to be ever present before the families. Look in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to read a few verses from that, beginning at verse 6. It says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates. Teach them diligently to your children. Again, God's law was to be present before the families, and the man's job was to take the lead in this teaching. You know, in the story of the very first couple that we read about, of course, Adam and Eve, we see what happened and the disastrous results whenever the man of the relationship failed to take the spiritual lead. Eve was deceived into eating the fruit, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, and Adam was with her and he knew all about what was going on, Genesis 3:6, and he was still silent about it. He didn't say a thing, and even partook in it himself. Now we can surmise and think about all kinds of reasons that he had for giving in. But you think about the situation. Both of them were driven from the garden because both of them transgressed against God. So many households in this day and age take a turn for the worse whenever the man remains silent. Whenever he sees things crop up in the family that might be a little bit wrong, but he doesn't want to make any waves. You know, husbands weren't supposed to have a go-along-with-anything-and-everything type of an attitude then, or a go-with-the-flow kind of an attitude, and they certainly aren't supposed to now. They need to take the lead, which we hopefully will look at here in just a little bit. They were to certainly enjoy their wives. They were certainly to love their wives by providing for them physically, but also spiritually. Providing the guidance that the household needed. And, you know, the effectiveness of their worship was actually tied to that duty that they had. And to neglect that duty, the husband was to neglect that duty, it would be to deal treacherously with his wife. As you look at Malachi chapter 2, the second thing you do, you cover the altar of the Lord with tears, he writes in verse 13, with weeping and crying. So he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Why is that the case? Notice the reason. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion in spirit and wife by covenant. But he did not make them one, having a remnant of spirit. And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Notice the rest. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. The relationship between people and God is seen described again in the relationship between the husband and the wife. To be the spiritual leader at home, we see even under the old law is what was required. From Genesis through Malachi, we could see that a man was to love his wife by providing for her spiritual welfare as well as the physical. Now we move to the New Testament and we look at that. The most often quoted passage of Scripture, of course, pertaining to proper family relationship is in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 and following, several verses through there. I want to note in particular tonight verses 25 through 29, where Paul writes, "Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." Now, I think it's interesting to note that in this passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 21 all the way down, you read that Paul's instructions here, and you'll find more than twice as many verses, more than twice as many teaching the responsibility of the husband than it does pertaining to the responsibilities of the wife. We might ask, you know, why is it only the man who's commanded to love in the marriage relationship? That's all Paul refers to there. Well, maybe it was such an important part of the marriage relationship as God would have it. Husbands, of course, are to be the heads of households. They're to take the lead. They're to be providers of their household. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Monetarily and spiritually. Ephesians 6, 4, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. It's a great responsibility in and of itself that the husband in the marriage relationship has. Now, I'm going to pause right here and point out that the duty of the husband to the wife is no less important than the duty of the wife to the husband. But again, this lesson focuses on husbands loving their wives. And that's what we want to look at here tonight. They're instructed to love their wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So the question becomes then, how did Christ love the church? Well, Christ was God's Son, and he came and he lived on this earth just as a man, just as you or me. Whenever he worked, he became weary. He became tired. Whenever he cut his hand, he would bleed just as you or I would bleed. And he came to this earth and lived a sinless life and humbled himself to that position to provide for man's need. That was forgiveness of sins and remains that way. You see, sin separates man from God, according to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, and man needed to be reconciled. Christ provided that reconciliation by living a sinless life and becoming the perfect sacrifice to take away sin. Now, I want you to notice some parallels between Adam and Eve, the first husband and wife, and Christ and the church. You remember, Adam was brought into existence. And then God decided it wasn't good that this man should be alone, so he was going to make a help meet for him. Notice how that took place. Adam was put to sleep, and a rib was taken from his side. And we're told that out of that rib, God made woman and brought her to the man. Similarly, the sinless, perfect Son of God was hanged on a tree. And while he slept the sleep of death, a Roman soldier pierced his side, and out of that side came blood with which he purchased the church, his bride. Only one. There's no room for polygamy in that relationship. The bride of Christ, the church. He gave his very life and shed his very blood for her. Now, folks, that's love. That is real love. The greatest love of all, we're told, as Christ says, greater love has no man than this, than that he lays his life down for his friends, John 15, 13. That's the kind of love that husbands are supposed to have for their wives, to see their wives for what they are, a blessing of God for their lives. And whenever they have this kind of love, that real love will develop, that spiritual, selfless love will develop. That's the kind of love that we husbands ought to be working to cultivate. Paul writes about such love in 1 Corinthians. That kind of love. He says of that love that it suffers long. It's patient. It holds up under stress. A husband that shows the proper love for his wife, you know. He's going to, whenever he comes in and the dinner is just a little bit burned, or whenever the house isn't as clean as he likes it, he's not going to fly off the handle. He's going to be patient. He's going to suffer long whenever that takes place. You see, patience and long-suffering, those things are extremely important in any relationship, and I think especially in the marriage relationship. Reminding ourselves, you know, we should remind ourselves how patient God is with us. And I think that will help us be more patient with others. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Husbands ought to show kindness toward their wives. He ought to show tenderness toward his wife. Helpfulness, that's one act of kindness that's very easy to show. You know, help keep the house clean or help with the laundry whenever there's time or whatever the case might be. Offer to do the dishes once in a while. You know, decide to keep the kids, give your wife a break and let her go and do something. Or just a heartfelt thank you or I love you once in a while goes a long way to showing kindness. Love doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. You know, nobody likes a person that goes around bragging about himself all the time. Not even his wife. She'll get tired of hearing it too. Humility is an attitude that the loving husband needs to possess. Living life only trying to impress others, that is not living life at all. And it certainly doesn't equate with love. And by the same token, if I'm truly going to be a loving husband, I'm not going to be seeking to exalt myself, but to exalt my wife and my children. We're told that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18. Love, Paul writes, does not behave rudely, unseemly. Simple things like politeness, courteousness, and those things we talked about being important. Well, how often do you as a husband use courteous terms with your wife like please and thank you? How often in today's society, though, do we see husbands being rude to their wives? It seems to be, you know, any place you go, that's the kind of behavior you see. Husbands ought never to belittle their wife, especially in public. Not only does it make the wife feel badly, but it makes the man out to be a tyrant. And it's certainly not a Christian attitude. It's certainly not the way a Christian man ought to be behaving toward the one that he has chosen. Love does not seek her own. The preacher that we had whenever I was just a kid there at Summerfield was very fond of saying that we needed more selflessness in Christianity among Christians. And certainly we need to see that in the marriage relationship as well. I think it's abundantly true whenever it comes to that. The husband ought to strive to put the welfare of his wife and family above his own. Just think about it. If I am a selfish person, that means I'm always looking out for myself. I'm going to find it very hard to love another, am I not? We need more selflessness in that. Love, Paul further writes, is not provoked. The less angry we are, the more likely we are to love, and the more likely we are to be loved. You know, we all have tempers and we have them to different degrees partly, but being angry, that's part of life, but we're not to let our anger cause us to sin as we are warned, be angry, but do not sin, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Whenever a husband exhibits the proper love for his wife, he's not going to be thin-skinned. He's not going to be spouting off things that he ought not to in the heat of the moment. Love thinks no evil, Paul says. Husband ought not to be in the business of keeping a scorebook or anything like that. You know, at the times that his wife has wronged him, thinking, well, okay, later on I'll bring that back to her attention. No, that's not the attitude that we ought to have at all. If a man holds a grudge because of something that's done to him, he's going to find it difficult to love. You can certainly see that in everyday life. Notice what Jesus says in Luke 17, 3 and 4. He says that if our brother sins against us and repents, we are to forgive him. Now, should our wife expect any less of us, their husbands, than our Lord says that our brother deserves? Certainly not. Love further, Paul writes, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Husbands oughtn't to be in the habit of pointing out the shortcomings of their wives, rejoicing in that. The reason I bring this up is I did have an acquaintance that always was fond of pointing out the fact that his wife was a little overweight and always pointing out, you shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't eat that. And he looked like he acted like he just got a kick out of it whenever he was able to do that. Well, that isn't the type of attitude or behavior that ought to be exhibited by the loving Christian husband. You know, if a person spends all their day looking for the bad, they'll never find the good, and believe me, the good is there. Love bears all things. You know, sometimes it seems in life, and sometimes even in marriage, that there are a lot of things to bear. So much of the time people think that the load that they have to bear is more burdensome than anybody else's, whenever it's usually not that way. You know, most of the difficulties in the marriage relationship comes up a lot of times because of petty things. And many a husband has become upset over very, very petty things. Like I've mentioned before, where the house wasn't as clean as it ought to be, or the supper wasn't cooked as he thought it ought to be. You know, whenever people begin to be looking at those things, whenever they get to thinking that those things are the heavy-duty things in life, they ought to really sit back and think about those that really have loads to carry. Think about the man who has an alcoholic for a wife. Or think about the man with a wife who has been unfaithful, but like Hosea, he's determined, as we say, to be in it for the long haul. Or think about the lonely widower who's lost his wife. Think about those things. Love will bear all things and bear up under all things. Love believes all things, believing the best about someone until proven otherwise. And love hopes all things. You can't have a pessimistic attitude whenever it comes to the marriage relationship. but have a positive, hopeful attitude. Yeah, from the New Testament teaching, in marriage, men need to love their wives as God intended for them too. The kind of love that Christ showed the church. The kind of love that Paul writes about in the attributes of it in 1 Corinthians 13. And that's the kind of love that needs to be developed. And it does take development over time for the love in the marriage relationship to grow to what it ought to be. It takes development. And something that takes development takes work. It takes work on our parts. And if both have husbands and wives, if they both work at it, it will inevitably lead to the development of the family unit as God would have it. But the overall importance as you look at that, Christian men are instructed, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Well, this can't be properly done if a husband's not exhibiting the proper love for his wife. It certainly cannot. I want you to note what Psalms chapter 127 verses 3 and 4 says. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Children are just one of the many blessings that are in the marriage relationship. And the psalmist describes them as a heritage from the Lord or as a reward. A heritage is something that's to be appreciated. It's something that is to be cared for. And the fact that it comes from God, the blessing of these children, should make it more special. The loving husband would want to see that their children get the proper necessities of life. And certainly, I'm sure that most men, as we mentioned the natural affection last hour, most men want to do that. But not only the necessities of life itself, but also the necessities for their spiritual lives. That is the responsibility of the husband to oversee. Those should be as important to the loving husband as children are as important to a man and woman as arrows are to a warrior. And that importance ought to be shown by setting a proper example in life for them to follow. You know, if a man lives his life setting a righteous example for his children to follow, then they will be more prone to do likewise. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. You know, if husbands want to raise children of righteousness, they need to realize that their relationship with their wives is a mirror of how Christ and the church relate to one another. That message has to be seen by children in their parents, particularly in their dads. What kind of message does the husband send his children if he's not showing the kind of love that God expects him to show in the marriage relationship? What if his children see him belittling his wife at every opportunity or see him continually complaining about things that are doing or not getting done or things like that? The father is supposed to be respected by his children. He's supposed to be the one that they can look up to. He is supposed to be setting an example for his children to follow. He's supposed to be their glory. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. And he can't be that. He can't be that for them if he's not loving his wife properly within the family unit. Husbands are supposed to be the spiritual leaders at home. Fathers were the ones in particular instructed to bring their children up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean the wife isn't to have a role in the spiritual training as well, like in the case of Timothy undoubtedly being taught by his mother and grandmother. But far too often what you see in the family relationship today is fathers leaving all of that training to the wife, if it gets there at all. Fathers ought to oversee it. They ought to be the ones that are instigating it. You know, a man can tell his children of Christ's love for their soul. He can tell them about that over and over and over. But he can still not have them understand if he's not loving his wife the way that he ought to be loving them. God intends for men to take the lead in the household. Show the proper love for their wives. Be the proper example. And train the children in the way that they should go. And whenever the husband and the wife combine their love for one another with God's love, there's this bond that cannot be loosed. And you add to that faithful children and in the church, and enormous things become possible. Things beyond one's wildest dreams can happen. Now as we move on to the 21st century, we're living in a world where values are eroding at an increasingly rapid rate. And in such a world, the Christian man might find it a challenge to live up to his end of the bargain as God would have him to do. You know, you just look at the TV shows and other things that are out there, and it seems to be in vogue to take pot shots at one's spouse. And you know, if a husband can ridicule his wife in some way, society seems to think that it's funny as they put it on their so-called sitcoms and things like that that are out there. And men, Christian men, can find it easy to become sucked up into this vacuum that is devoid of behavior that is befitting the Christian husband. They can find themselves sucked right up into it anyway. The fact remains that even in this modern era, husbands are still to love their wives the way that God has shown us to in His Word. That command has not changed, as nor have any others. As Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. We're to pattern our lives by that word that is revealed in the pages of God's book. So whenever the world promotes women's liberation, men must realize that they are still to be the leaders at home. They're still to take the lead and show the, it's a show of proper love for his wife. Ephesians 5, 22 and following. That doesn't mean that the husband is to be an overbearing tyrant, but it does mean that he is to be the head of the family, the head of the household, and to take the lead. He bears the responsibility for the direction of the family. Yeah, the true loving husband will take the knowledge of his wife. He will be understanding, but he needs to realize that his place is supposed to be the stronger of the two. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Whenever the world seemingly approves of and promotes promiscuity through the entertainment industry and shows and things like that, even examples of prominent men among our nation's leaders, the husband is to remain devoted and faithful to his wife. Once again, that is God's design. While the world continually devalues Christianity, the husband is to set the proper example as a Christian. He reads and he studies God's Word. He's faithful in attending the assemblies. And he's faithful in setting that kind of an example for his family to follow. Husbands, love your wives. There are so many aspects to the kind of love that husbands are to show towards their wives. So many things that we could study. We've merely scratched the surface here tonight. It's something that certainly we as husbands need to study further and delve deeper into to further understand what the Christian man should be doing in loving his wife. This love is it's a continual, it's a growing thing, and it's so very important that we keep working towards it. And in our love for our wives, we must be sacrificial. You know, when is the last time you gave up something that you wanted to do so you could do something that your wife wanted? When was the last time you sacrificed something for her? Love for our wives must also be intentional. Something that we plan for. Things that we want to do and strive to do. Yeah, the acts of kindness that are associated with love are only parts of what's expected as the husband loves his wife. For some men, that's the easy part. For some men, the spiritual aspect of love's the easy part, and they have a hard time with the sacrificial or sensitive parts. But we need to remember that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord, Proverbs 19:14. Once again, I want to thank you for allowing me to speak for a while here this evening. Thank you for your attention. As we bring this to a close, let us understand that the invitation of the Lord is ever out there. He is ever knocking at the door, wanting to come in, wanting you to respond. But it's times like this that we do offer His invitation. Offer His invitation to you who may not have obeyed the gospel, to come in simple belief, repenting, confessing, being baptized for his remission, for remission of sins. To you who may have obeyed the gospel but need to make things right with God, you have this opportunity as well. He is continually knocking. If you're subject to an invitation of the Lord tonight, come forward as we stand and as we sing.